Hello and welcome to The Preservationists, the monthly radio show for fans of local historic architecture, the history of unique buildings, and the people from our community working to preserve and restore them. I'm Astronomist Ray, the president of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society Board of Directors, and the host of The Preservationists. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're exploring the power of photographs, these frozen moments in time that offer a window into the past. Specifically, we're talking about historic photos, the stories they tell, and the work it takes to preserve and share them with the community. Today, I am joined by Sarah Meyer, the curator and storyteller behind Sarah's Old Photos. Sarah, welcome to The Preservationists.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Could you start by introducing yourself and kind of sharing with our listeners a bit about what Sarah's Old Photos is and how all of that began?
So very shortly, Chuck and I came to Astoria in 1971. In 1977, Chuck wanted to open his own store, so we opened The Complete Photographer. It was on the corner of 14th and Exchange. We were there for 31 years, and we did everything from we will provide you with the film for you to take the pictures in the cameras that we want to sell you, and you'll print them for you, and then we'll frame them for you when you're all done. In the process of that, people in Astoria like history, and we would have people bringing in family photos, interesting photos that they wanted copies of or they wanted to share. And it didn't take very long. So we opened in 77, and I bet by 79, we already had started people saying, oh, you need to share this with other people. And so we would make copy negatives of pictures, and then we would print those, and we started albums that we had at our shop, in the frame shop. And we kept getting pictures, and more pictures came in. And so you've got you've got 30 years of people bringing in their memories to share. And then we had collections from studios, Ball Studio. Sam Churchill was quite the photographer, writer, and he shared his logging pictures with us. We had pictures that were from Coe, who was a 1900s photographer, and some from Ford, and they were local photographers, and their collections, and this would have been negatives or prints themselves. And so we had the ability to print those negatives, and Chuck was a photographer himself, and we had a fantastic dark room. So he could go in and he could print enlargements for people or other prints that they wanted. So we just kept building and building and building. And then came 2007 in December. We had a fantastic, horrible storm on the West Coast. And that trashed our business. The wind blew out our windows, and the wind took out our inventory and put it on the street and put the glass over our printers and just messed it up. And we had to decide then, because by 2000, you know that digital had taken over from film. And so we had to face the reality that the kind of photography that we were most interested in, which was film and the history that can share in that moment, it catches that thing that you have taken a picture of, was going to be a thing of the past. We opted then in April of 2008 to close up. I still had all those images. What do I do? So I didn't want to quit. I had an incredible scanner and printer through the Epson system that we had since the 90s. And I used that until 2023. And it would take my film images, it would take slides, I could transfer to the digital world that I wanted to get things into. And then it went kaput. I couldn't find one that I was willing to pay for. It would give me the abilities that I had. And so I quit doing the digitizing, which saddens me because I still have hundreds of things that need to be transferred. But it happened. So how did Sarah's Old Photos come to be? We'll go back to that. In 2009, I had a couple of people that helped me set up my Facebook page. And I started posting three or so pictures a week. First off, I had maybe two or three people that liked it. At my peak, I had almost 750,000 people looking at an image saying, wow, which is really kind of exciting for me who loves history and wants people to share it and learn from it. Sarah's Old Photos was active from 2009 until November of 2024. And at that point, Facebook shut me down because I never knew that I should update my addresses. And when I finally tried to do it, they said, "You're phishing, you're not real." But people can still go on to Sarah's Old Photos on Facebook and see those images that were posted.
Yeah. And is there a specific type of photos that you collect in your collection? Are they all a specific time period? What type of photos are there?
So in my years of collecting, I counted today and I have 48 photo albums full of pictures that people have brought to me in one form or another. And I have divided those into decades. So we go from the 1880s when photography became popular. And there's some pictures before that because individuals would take out those 11 by 14 glass plate wood photo cameras out into the woods like Kinsey and Ford and take pictures and then develop them right away and then have prints. And we have some of those from before the 1880s, but it's actually user-friendly film after the 1880s when his Kodak camera, he would load 100 images, 100 sheets of film into one camera, and you would take your pictures, and then you would send that whole camera back in for processing, and then you'd get your pictures back. Anyway, that happened in the 1880s. So I go by the decades. I go by along the Columbia River, and on the north and south up to Ocean Park and down to Seaside, and all the woods and trains in between hand and the river boats. And we look at the history of what came from the river and to us as communities. And we go up to the 2000s, but there aren't as many recent pictures because we didn't think that was history. We don't think about history today. We think about it history 100 years ago. I have extensive pictures of the centennial, not hardly any of the bicentennial. That was not shared very much. I have very few pictures of the storm. 2007, and you'd think that that would be pretty prominent, but mm-hmm. those did not come to me.
Now, in your time with working with all these different historical photos, how have you helped people connect with these photos through their history?
It's almost more an education for me because people that bring in photos to share have that immediate history. I don't get people bringing in photos of a building that they had in their grandparents' collection and they'd like to know where that is. That doesn't come in very often. Sometimes people have an interest in finding out like train history or ship history, and they want to look at images that are of where the train tracks were in the area, where there's people that think that that's their life's calling is to find out where all those train tracks were, and then they want to see pictures of where they were, and then they try to ID that land and things. And that's a research that I think is really interesting. I have, back in the 70s, Neil Main and Leonard Vernon and Richard Fensack and I were busy with making Maritime Week very important. And Leonard had created a video and he was with the ESD program and providing movies and things for the school systems. And Neil was a teacher down in Seaside, science teacher. And Richard was working at the Maritime Museum and also had a bike shop. It was just an amazing group of people that allowed me to kick in and be part of them. So we did Maritime Week to acknowledge the history of the Coast Guard, the river, and all in between to help historians appreciate our own history. And it was pretty neat. We did that for several years. And that photography came in and filled in gaps while we were doing that. And that was kind of my tie-in to making everything fun. Yeah, that knowledge is shared, then we all know more and we all appreciate where we are a lot more.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one thing that kind of interests me about what you do in all of this, there's like a ton of photos that you have seen. But was there a specific photo that connected you or that made you really passionate about wanting to continue down this path? And because you've been doing this for many years.
There were many photos. There was not a light bulb photo. To me, history is that catching that moment in time and making it available for other people to appreciate the moment that it was and then to potentially learn about it. But if not to learn, just to observe that things were different, but things progressed to where they are today, some good, some not so good. We took care of our environment some ways we destroyed our environment, and you can catch that through some photographs. The one picture that gives me calmness and marvels that at one point, if I sat on a wooden plank boardwalk and I looked out towards the Columbia River, I would see acres and acres of net racks and those flat places with the net rack forms on them and then sheds built up going into the river, not just the river on the edge and some buildings. It was an industrial area from the 1877 or so up until the 1940s of businesses over the water. And we know that we had Astoria downtown over the water until it was filled in. And everything that's flat in Astoria was river. You know, and that to me was pretty exciting when I came to town and we had our business on 14th and that was water too. You know, it's like we have filled in a lot in our town.
Exactly. Those are the really interesting pieces of history that really connect you because it can evolve and it changes throughout time.
It sure does.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you know, there's a lot of interesting and things I'm sure that you've uncovered with photos. Do you have any personal stories of anything super interesting that you found that was just an interesting story that really intrigued you about a photo or, you know, maybe somebody that brought you film or anything?
I think Sam Churchill, he was an author and a retired journalist, and he grew up with the Tidewater Lumber Company towards Olney. And he wanted to give a history, and he wrote two books. He called Don't Call Me Ma and Big Sam. And those books shared a lot of logging history. He got me going to say, you need to understand history and preserve it. And he was a big part of what I do. And he, at the end of his use, and his wife, who's also an author, gave me his collection. I have tapes, I have photographs, I have lots of pictures, I have lots of writings that he did in making his books, and it feels right to have it and then to pass it along to another group.
Yeah, and one form of preservation is documentation, like what you have, and documenting it and sharing it. How do you maintain everything that you have with your photo collection?
So back in the 20s and early, a little bit earlier, they started having the nitrate film, and that's very flammable. That's how a lot of movies exploded. You know, they did movies on nitrate film, and we came into a collection of about 100 8x10 nitrate negatives. And over the years, we separated them all out, which is that first step. But over the years, they start to wrinkle. And if you don't continually check them, so we made prints from all of them so we can go from that. They've been digitized. But I like to keep as much of the original information that I can because that's always best. But as they start to crinkle, they have to go. They get tossed out before they explode and mess up the whole system. We have glass negatives. Those were used prior to about 1916, sometimes after that, but not too much before that, after that. And those have to be processed on site. So photographers had to carry both the old heavy cameras plus all the processing and the heavy glass plates. Some of those are broken. We try to keep them safe, but they are what they are. Some get scratched and all sorts of things happen to them. I have a room full of negatives and my albums and my CDs that they are transferred to with identification. So if somebody comes and looks at a picture from my collection, on the back of it, I have how I can find that information and print more pictures from it. To me, it's a very sensible way of getting to images to the world of computers today. It's probably very outdated, but it works.
Yeah. How do you go about digitizing them? You mainly just do them through the CDs?
That's what I do. I did. I am actually on a hold system because I don't like the way that my current scanners give images to the world. And I'm not a copier through my phone. I think that's not me. So I'm on hold now, but I did use a good scanner and could scan film and prints and put it through to the CD or the USB, depending on what people wanted and what mode I was in. And those are protected. I'm waiting for somebody else to want to do the scanning and the numbering and systems.
Yeah. And how many hours do you spend on these? Like, do you just take a deep dive into this? Like, because I imagine it takes a majority of your time.
Not anymore. So I've kind of set that aside. For a while, had a stage front, a store that I had. It was called Sarah's Old Photos, and it was in the Spexarth building at the corner of 8th and Commercial. And I would go there and spend hours digitizing. I had actually hired some people for a while to help me do it because it was cumbersome and it took a long time. But that was then, and that ended probably before COVID came. So, and since then, I've done it at home in my house. I have a room that is my office area, and I have a room for storage.
We'll return to our interview with Sarah Meyer in just a moment. But first, I'd like to introduce my fellow board member, Eric Miller, to tell us about LCPS Presents.
Thanks, Astronomus. Coming up on Tuesday, May 13th, in celebration of National Historic Preservation Month, the Lower Columbia Preservation Society presents a program on the history of the Dr. Harvey Historic Preservation Awards. Who is Dr. Harvey? And what is the Dr. Harvey Award? And why is this award so important to Astoria? Learn the answers to these questions and others at this presentation by former City of Astoria Historic Preservation Planner, Rosemary Johnson. Rosemary was the planner and historic preservation officer for the City of Astoria until her retirement in 2014 after 35 years of service to the city. In 2011, during Astoria's bicentennial celebration, she was honored as one of Astoria's top 100 women for her public service to historic preservation. Join us for this narrated PowerPoint program at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, May 13th at the Pacific Distillery, located on Astoria's historic riverfront. This presentation is free and open to the public. However, seating is limited.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate you sharing about those events. Now, also coming up with LCPS is LCPS's Topics in Preservation, a monthly discussion and conversation. This month is the Philosophy of Historic Preservation. Continue the conversation from the Philosopherian's Wit and Wisdom with special guests Seth and Gad Tishner. Happening on Wednesday, April 16th at 6 p.m. at Breakside Brewery at 1355 Exchange Street in downtown Astoria. We hope that you join us at these events. Now returning to our interview with Sarah Meyer. So Sarah, my next question for you is, do you ever get any films that can't be read, where you cannot actually even see the photo?
I did when I was active in it. It's more of a past tense now. There were sometimes slides at some point, and there were some, even forget what they were called, magic lantern slides that was used before we had movies. It was what entertainment was. You'd get these hand-painted slides that would be projected and people would ooh and ah over that image that came up in social circles. And those sometimes were hard to transfer to the digitized world.
Now, one thing that's interesting about the social media pages and platform that you had with the Facebook page is you had so much community engagement in it. How has helping share these photos with the community impacted what you do? Do you feel like you get more traffic about from it, or people coming to you with questions?
It was fulfilling. It felt good that people wanted to see and hear and learn and share those images, and that kept me going until I got stopped. It's part of why the collection continued, I think, after retirement. It was a good use of time, and people want history. They want to know where they are and what they are about, and sharing that, whether it's generational history or it's just I see something and I find what it is today and it doesn't look at all like that. Wow, it was different back then. And you appreciate how things change. So I like what I did. I really enjoy the input that I got from people. And there was a lot of it. And it was, after a while, it was like I'd go because I'm involved in other things in town. And a lot of people, when you retire, you kind of get into a different mode of stuff. And I'd go to meetings and somebody'd say, "Are you the Sarah's old photos lady?" And it was like, yeah. And it's like, oh, that's my life now. I'm a Sarah's old photo lady. That was kind of fun to make conversations that way.
Yeah, absolutely. and then what is the goal for Sarah's old photos moving forward?
The plan is that this collection is going to go on to the Preservation Society, and they are going to be able to keep it available to the public. And I'm wonderfully excited about that. Mm-hmm. Yep, that will be good. And maybe the Preservation Society will help me set up a new page and I'll just continue Sarah's old photos and keep posting them. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to make that happen.
Out to the public now.
Yes. And, one thing that I'm just kind of interested in you personally is, what sparked your passion for history? You know, was there this certain connection that, you know, has it always been this way, or did it happen later in your life? Like, what made you interested in history, specifically with photography?
I think my husband had a little bit to do with that because he was the photographer. And when I first met him, after I had met him, so this is the second time we got together, he had two Nikon cameras around his shoulders, one on each shoulder. And I met him in New York City because he was going to show me the city. And that's my impression. You know, here's this tall guy and I'm dressed up to do a good show of New York City because I'm coming from across the river where I was working with Job Corps at the time. And he's in this old blue coat and shaggy hair and 20-some-year-old guy and without any money. So I'm in my heels thinking I'm ready. And he walks me from 42nd Street down to 33rd Street to show me where he was working. And I thought, God, am I going to go with this guy again? And then he takes me into, let me take you to my dark room. This was another couple of times. And so I started seeing the joy of serious looking at images through the eyes of a photographer. And then we opened the store after we came to Astoria. And people started sharing their old pictures. And I think that's actually where the history of photography came in. I've been a history person, but it was more a place. It wasn't an image. And I moved on to images and loved what they did and what they do, that moment in time, stopping and creating. You have it. And then it's there because it's on film. And then you can, over the years, look at that again and see that moment and see other moments. But it's, you stop it. And that's the joy of history. You can, through photography, you can see it and then you live it again.
Yeah. And then that continues throughout generations where other people look at it and connect. Because like you said earlier, we see how things change and you look at that building and you say, I remember when it looked like that, or it's still there, but it looks different.
Yeah. And Astoria is a great moment in times over the last 100 and some years because, you know, we burned in 1922, and we rebuilt sensibly. And we're still there because we rode through the depressions and bad times because Astorians hunker down when they need to, and they don't like too terribly much with change. They like history. They like to make things better with what they have. And that's what I think our business was successful, because people, once we got to know people, they wanted to come in and help us keep history, keep this community responsible and alive with each other.
Yeah, Absolutely. And, you know, just to kind of give our listeners some parting words, what would you say to people who have this interest in preservation and history and they love looking at these historical photos? This is something that they're interested in. What are your parting words to future preservationists?
To future preservationists? Okay. What I think is a shame with the digital world is that you keep it and flip through your phones and share your images right now, but 10 years down the road, you won't have printed off images of your family, of what's going on daily, of what you know, you won't get your own scrapbook, you won't get your album together because you have it on a phone. Then when it comes time for your kids to have grandkids, there won't be anything left for them to see because you never had hard copies made. I think that albums are very important. I think that history needs to be recorded and kept and printed hard. You need to have some hard copies out. So for those of you that are thinking about history, ever so often, maybe it's only twice a year, but print out some of your history in your family, in your world about you, and keep it for your grandkids or your spouse or your whatever it is you want to keep it for yourself to look back and see where from whence you've come.
Yeah. Yep, because one form of preservation is documentation. Documentation is super, super important because it helps us remember history.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it also helps us be more socially responsible.
Yep, exactly. Well, Sarah, it has been an absolute pleasure chatting with you today. Is there any other words that you would like to say to our listeners out there listening to The Preservationist right now?
Thank you for almost 50-some years of being in Astoria and making this a wonderful life for us.
Excellent. Beautifully said. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Sarah. I really appreciate you coming on to the show and really just talking about preserving through photography. It's super interesting and photos are beautiful. You know, capturing these moments there's nothing like it. You know, they're just timeless. You can really connect and go back to a moment in time through photos. It's amazing.
You're right. Thank you.
Thank you to my guest this month, Sarah Meyer, for joining me talking about Sarah's old photos and the power of photographs and what they play in historic preservation. Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of The Preservationist. We hope you tune in again next month. The Preservationist airs every third Tuesday of the month on KMUN at 9:30 a.m. I'd like to give a special thanks to the team here at KMUN, the members, volunteers, and staff of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, and a special thanks to Camila Swordloff for producing the theme song of The Preservationist. The Preservationist is a production of the Lower Columbia Preservation Society, written and produced by Astronomist Ray for KMUN. I'm Astronomist Ray, and remember, anyone can be a preservationist. Thank you for listening.